Hello, this is Father Jim. Last week I was thinking of the world being a common wealth, because God planted a garden in Eden in the East, and there he put us to care for it. And there are many nations in the world who've cared for their mother. And one of the great nations is the Native American. I've been privileged to work with for 8 summers in a reservation in South Dakota. Here is the testimony of Chief Seattle, which you may have heard before, but it bears repeating. He was from the northwest of the United States, and I believe in about the 1830s or 40s wrote a series of letters to the American president. The great chief in Washington sends word he wishes to buy our land. The great chief also sends words of friendship and goodwill. That's kind of him, since we know he has little need of our friendship in return. But we'll consider your offer. We know that if we don't sell, the white man may come with guns and take our land. How can you buy or sell the sky and the warmth of the land? The idea is strange to us. If we don't own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. But the white man's dead forget the country of their birth when they go to walk among the stars. But our dead never forget this beautiful earth, for it is the mother of the red man. We're part of the earth, and it is part of us. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The deer, the horse, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rocky crests, the juices of the meadows, the body heat of the pony and man, all belong to the same family. So when the great chief in Washington sends word he wishes to buy our land, he asks much of us. The great chief sends word he'll reserve us a place so that we can live comfortably to ourselves. He'll be our father, we'll be his children. So we'll consider your offer to buy our land, but it will not be easy, for this land is sacred to us. This shining water that moves in the streams and rivers isn't just water, but the blood of our ancestors. And if we sell you land, you must remember it's sacred. You must teach your children that it's sacred. And each ghostly reflection in the clear water of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. The rivers carry our canoes and feed our children. And if we sell you our land, you must remember and teach your children that the rivers are our brothers and yours, and you must henceforth give the rivers the kindness you'd give any brother. The red man's always retreated before the advancing white man, as the mist of the mountains runs before the morning sun. But the ashes of our fathers are sacred. Their graves are holy ground. So these hills, these trees, this portion of the earth is consecrated to us. Oh, we know the white man doesn't understand our ways. One portion of the land's the same to him as the next. For he's a stranger, comes in the night, takes from the land whatever he needs. The earth isn't his brother, but his enemy. When he's conquered it, he moves on. He leaves his father's graves behind. He doesn't care. He kidnaps the earth from his children. He doesn't care. His father's graves and his children's birthright are forgotten. He treats his mother, the earth, and his brother, the sky, as things to be bought, plundered, sold like sheep or bright beads. His appetite will devour the earth and leave behind only a desert. I don't know. Our ways are different to your ways. The sight of your cities pains the eyes of the red man. But perhaps it's because the red man's a savage and doesn't understand. There's no quiet place in the white man's cities. No place to hear the unfurling of leaves in spring or the rustle of insects' wings. But perhaps it's because I'm a savage and I don't understand. The clatter only seems to insult the ears. And what is there to life if a man cannot hear the lonely cry of the whippoorwill or the arguments of the frogs around a pond at night? I'm a red man and I don't understand. The Indian prefers the soft sound of the wind darting over the face of a pond and the smell of the wind itself cleansed by a midday rain or scented with the pinyon pine. The air is precious to the red man, for all things share the same breath. The beast, the tree, the man, they all share the same breath. The wind that gave our grandfather his first breath also received his last sigh. And the wind must also give our children the spirit of life. And if we sell you our land, you must keep it apart and sacred. It's a place where even the white man can go to taste the wind that is sweetened by the meadow's flowers. So we'll consider your offer to buy our land. If we decide to accept, I'll make one condition. The white man must treat the beasts of this land as his brothers. I'm a savage and I don't understand any other way. I've seen 1,000 rotting buffaloes on the prairie, left by the white man who shot them from a passing train. I'm a savage and I don't understand how the smoking iron horse can be more important than the buffalo that we kill only to stay alive. What is man without the beasts? If all the beasts were gone, men would die of a great loneliness of spirit. For whatever happens to the beasts soon happens to man. All things are connected. Teach your children what we've taught our children, that the earth is our mother. And whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth. This we know. All things are connected. But we'll consider your offer to go to the reservation you have for my people. We'll live apart and in peace. It matters little where we spend the rest of our days. Our children have seen their fathers humbled in defeat. Our warriors have felt shame, and after defeat they turn their days in idleness and contaminate their bodies with sweet food and strong drink. It matters little where we pass the rest of our days. They're not many. A few more hours, a few more winters, and none of the children of the great tribes that once lived on this earth or that roam now in small bands in the woods will be left to mourn the graves of a people once as powerful and hopeful as yours. Where's the thicket? Gone. Where's the eagle? Gone. And what is it to say goodbye to the swift pony and the hunt? The end of living and the beginning of survival. So we'll consider your offer to buy our land. If we agree, it'll be to secure the reservation you've promised there. Perhaps we may live out our brief days as we wish. But when the last red man has vanished from this earth, and his memory is only the shadow of a cloud moving across the prairie, these shores and forests will still hold the spirits of my people. For they love this earth as the newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. So if we sell you our land, love it as we've loved it. Care for it as we've cared for it. Hold in your mind the memory of the land as it is when you take it. And with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, preserve it for your children and love it as God loves all. One thing we know, our God is the same God. This earth is precious to him. We may be brothers after all. We shall see.